Welcome to the Sicilian Secret Diet Plan Podcast. This podcast is written and presented to you by husband and wife team Dr. Sandra Camerata and Dr. Giovanni Campanile. Sandra is a psychiatrist and was born and raised in Sicily, and Giovanni is a cardiologist. They have written the Sicilian Secret Diet Plan book and podcast in order to introduce a wider audience to the wonderful taste and health benefits of the Sicilian Mediterranean diet, which will lead you onto a path of longevity and improved health span, the reduction of disease in the later part of your life. The goal is to live not only longer, but better with improved vitality and joy of life. Their motto is Be Well Deliciously.
Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the podcast from the Sicilian Secret Diet Plan. My name is Giovanni Campanile, MD.
Sandra Camerata, MD. Welcome.
And today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic of sex drive, fertility, and pregnancy, and all of the lifestyle factors and dietary factors that may contribute to improvement in these areas. So first, let me start with sex drive, because without sex drive or sex life, none of this is possible. So many people don't realize that some foods are very important for sex drive. And foods that increase blood flow and testosterone levels and have increased amounts of carnitine and zinc, such as oysters, lobster, pork, baked beans, and pumpkin seeds, are very helpful in this regard. And also, the plaque buildup in arteries, just like in our heart, in the arteries in our sexual organs are very important, because if they start building a plaque, then the sex drive is less. And fish, which are high in omega-3, helps prevent this. And also, foods that are high in L-arginine, which is an amino acid, which increases another chemical called nitric oxide, also helps the function of arteries. And foods that are naturally rich in this are nuts, seeds, beets, arugula, celery, radish, all good foods for this in this regard. And then another substance called quercetin, which we've talked about in the past, because quercetin is an antioxidant and also has antiviral properties, but also helps promote circulation and helps erectile function. And quercetin is found in apples, onions, parsley, sage, some teas, and in red wine. And a study specifically about red wine showed small amounts of wine in women. And a study in 2009 showed in 789 women found that mild amounts of red wine was associated with a higher sexual desire, lubrication, and overall sexual pleasure.
So remember, alcohol is okay in very small quantities. We're learning more and more that even one drink of alcohol a day can actually shrink your brain structure and your gray matter. So be careful when Giovanni's talking about that small amount of alcohol. We're talking about really small amount of alcohol, possibly less than three drinks per week. And be aware that there is no alcohol recommended at all during pregnancy, because it can interfere with the development of the fetus and especially the brain. Fetal alcohol syndrome used to be much more frequent, of course, in the past when there was no restriction on alcohol intake, but is still present. And children affected by fetal alcohol syndrome have significant disability for the rest of their lives.
Also, with alcohol, there was a study published in the British Medical Journal in looking at men in 1,221 Danish men between the ages of 18 and 28, and found that habitual moderate to significant alcohol intake, 5 to 25 drinks per week, reduced both sperm counts and testosterone levels. So for fertility, from a man's standpoint, too much alcohol is definitely deleterious. So fertility is a person's ability to conceive children. A woman is considered infertile if she's unable to get pregnant after at least 1 year of unprotected sex. Fertility, of course, also includes the male partner's ability to get the woman pregnant. Many of the lifestyle factors that affect fertility affect both the man and the woman. Approximately 15% of couples in the U.S. are infertile, and evidence shows that nutrition can play a significant role in fertility. Healthy diets such as the Mediterranean diet, which is naturally high in unsaturated fats, whole grains, vegetables, and fish, promote fertility. Because a Mediterranean diet is rich in folate, vitamin B12, and omega-3 fatty acids, all of which have been shown to promote fertility both in men and women. Women tend to benefit from isoflavones, which are plant-based estrogens with antioxidant activity, which are also rich in the Mediterranean diet.
So in the U.S., 1 in 2 women of childbearing age have elevated BMI. And an elevated BMI increases infertility. So the recommendation is to make sure that weight is stable before pregnancy starts to facilitate fertility. And a weight loss of between 5 and 10% is enough to increase fertility. So remember that if you have an elevated BMI, a weight loss of 5 to 10% will increase the ability to conceive.
And also, the extremes of weight are also counterproductive. If someone is too thin, a BMI of less than 18, BMI is body mass index. So if your body mass index is less than 18, you have a less chance of becoming fertile. If it's above 25, same thing. So the best thing is to maintain your body mass index between 18 and 25, which is the optimal zone.
So the healthy BMI is associated with the maternal and the child decrease risk. An elevated BMI, of course, will increase the child's health risk, birth complication, birth defects, a premature birth, miscarriages, a high infant birth weight, and later obesity of the child. So it will affect the child later on in his or her life. And it will also affect the health of the mother. So the mother with an elevated BMI who becomes pregnant has an increased risk for hypertension, for diabetes, for preeclampsia, eclampsia. And a woman with low birth weight also has increased chances for premature birth and low infant birth weight.
So several studies have looked at diet and fertility, and the Mediterranean diet seems to be the optimal diet for fertility. There are three main studies that have looked at this specifically. The Nurses' Health Study, a study done in Spain, and a study performed in Greece have shown that adhering to a Mediterranean-style diet significantly improves fertility rates. And this is because of two main reasons. One is that these diets are very high naturally in folate. And in a randomized controlled trial of women who were infertile, women who were given 400 micrograms of folate for 3 months had a 26% pregnancy rate as compared to a 10% rate in the placebo group, in the group that did not get the folate. And it may be that even higher amounts of folate, such as 800 micrograms, may be even better. Now, what's not in this diet is saturated fats and red meat in big amounts. And saturated fats and red meats appear to be negatively associated with fertility rates. However, it appears that non-heme iron, that means iron from plants, not from meat, it helps fertility. Saturated fats from red meat and other sources appear to lower semen concentrations in men and lower the quality of the semen and the sperm in men.
So as we can see, the health of the child starts even before birth, trying to optimize diet, trying to maintain a healthy weight before pregnancy occurs. And once conception starts, the first 1,000 days post-conception are very important because they influence the baby's health during this time of development and the risk for the child to develop diseases later on in life. Mediterranean diet is the best diet for sex drive, for fertility, and definitely for pregnancy. The first 1,000 days post-conception are very important because they influence the baby's health during this time of development and the risk of developing later illnesses. So like we mentioned, it is important to start a healthy weight with pregnancy and then continue during pregnancy with a healthy weight gain. And a healthy weight gain during pregnancy is between 10 and 16 kilos. And this is for women of normal weight. Women that start with an elevated BMI, the recommended weight gain is not to exceed 10 kilos. So that should be easy, maintaining a Mediterranean diet, mostly plant-based diet, and continuing to exercise regularly. It is important to know that the first trimester, there is absolutely no need to increase calorie intake. Pay attention to what you eat. The quality of food is very important. Try to eat organic as much as possible to avoid pesticides. And in the second trimester, calorie intake usually can be increased by 250 calories per day. And in the third trimester, calorie intake increases by 500 calories per day, unless you become sedentary because of difficulties moving later on in the pregnancy or for recommended bed rest for the health of the mother of the child. So you need less than those 500 calories. So please eat for one and think for two. That is the recommendation.
So in general, our recommendations have always been to eat a quality diet of quality foods. And this is especially true during fertility and pregnancy periods. If you're going to gain weight during pregnancy, it is imperative that you gain weight with quality foods, because all the foods that you eat are going to also be feeding the fetus. So a Mediterranean style diet is high in fat, high in polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats. And in one study, women who consumed higher levels of poly and monounsaturated fats had higher pregnancy rates, and men had improved sperm morphology and counts. And omega-3 from fish also improves fertility and improves the health of the fetus in utero. The benefits of omega-3 seem to outweigh even small increases in mercury. So it's recommended to eat fish during pregnancy. Avoid the large mercury-rich fish such as king mackerel, shark, swordfish, tilefish, and try to consume the smaller, short-lived fish such as salmon, pollock, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring.
So fish is recommended during pregnancy twice a week. And if you can't do that for whatever reason, at least add a 200 to 400 grams of omega-3 as a supplement.
In fact, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommend 2 to 4 servings of low mercury content fish weekly, both during the fertility period and during pregnancy.
Because it helps with forming a healthy, the structure of the brain of the baby, a healthy brain for the baby.
As far as dairy is concerned, dairy is very good if it's a full fat dairy. And this is true not only for fertility and pregnancy, this is for general well-being also. In the nurse's health study, full fat dairy was associated with improved fertility, while low fat dairy was associated with lower fertility rates.
So during pregnancy, dairy are very important for the content of calcium, protein, iodine. And so it's recommended to get about 2 servings of dairy per day, including a fermented dairy, like a yogurt during the day, because that will improve the amount of probiotics that are necessary for the mother microbiome and for the child's microbiome. So the requirements for vitamins and minerals increases during pregnancy, but mainly from the 4th month onwards. like we spoke about before, folate requirement increases during pregnancy, and that's why the vitamin supplement is necessary. But the majority of requirements for vitamins and minerals really come from the diet, from a balanced Mediterranean-based diet. The amount of water is also recommended to continue to be about 1.5 liters per day, except if you live in a hot environment or you're doing heavy physical activity.
Another supplement that may be helpful for men is coenzyme Q10. In the Molecular Aspects of Medicine journal found that coenzyme Q10 was associated with sperm function and quality. CoQ10 is a cofactor for energy production and is an antioxidant. So if someone has low CoQ10 levels, supplementing with CoQ10 can improve sperm function and quantity, and maybe something to consider when trying to become pregnant.
So what we recommend is what we always recommend, which is a daily consumption of at least 3 portions of vegetables, 2 portions of fruits, a whole grain, beans, which are rich in vitamins, minerals, fibers, and of course protein, and milk and dairy product. Now, egg is a very important source of choline. Choline is essential for brain function, especially for the fetus brain function.
Also, be aware that there is some data about radio frequency electromagnetic radiation. And this may be affecting things that go on in our bodies, and it may affect fertility. In a study from the University of Exeter in the UK found that men who keep a mobile phone in their pant pocket had reduced sperm counts and quality and reduced fertility. So something to keep in mind in general, because these things may be affecting us, but also specifically for fertility rates.
And it also appears that the blue light does not just from the phone, from computers, from TV screens, doesn't just affect melatonin, but possibly all other hormones. So limit the exposure to the blue light from all screens as much as possible. And going back to diet during pregnancy, what we want is, of course, to have a good amount of protein during the diet, prefer plant-based protein. Recommended protein intake daily needs is 1.1 gram per kilogram per day. So is about 71 gram. And pregnant women should consume 2 portions of protein-rich foods per day. And of course, always avoid processed foods.
So as far as caffeine is concerned, there's no definitive data linking caffeine to infertility in either men or women. However, new research indicates that caffeine consumed during pregnancy can affect the brain of the fetus that can result in behavioral problems later in life. Researchers at the University of Rochester analyzed thousands of brain scans of 9 and 10-year-olds and revealed changes in the brain structure in children who were exposed to caffeine in utero.
So the recommendation is to really limit caffeine intake to about 300 grams of caffeine per day, and if it's possible, to limit even further, because there is also a possibility of premature birth and low birth weight with too much caffeine intake. So carbohydrates are also very important, of course, during pregnancy. They provide energy, especially for the brain, important both for the mother and for the growing fetus. And the recommended dietary intake of carbohydrates is 45 to 65% of daily energy intake, which is the same recommendation for non-pregnant and healthy women, and mostly should be fiber. Very important during pregnancy because it facilitates, it softens the stools. Constipation is a problem, especially in the later months of pregnancy. And mostly is beneficial with the digestive system and the microbiome of the mother and of the fetus. Remember, we're building not just the mother, the pregnant mother microbiome, but the fetus microbiome that will help the fetus for the rest of his or her life to have a healthy microbiome.
And another important thing to avoid in general and also during fertility periods and pregnancy is sugar. There are many studies showing that sugar in high quantities can affect both fertility rates and affect the quality of pregnancy. In a study of 3,628 women planning to become pregnant, women who reported consuming three or more servings of any soda per day had a 52% lower rate of pregnancy, indicating a negative effect of excess sugar. There's also evidence that high sugar consumption in men is also associated with lower semen counts and quality and lower fertility rates.
So while vitamin supplements, except for the multivitamin and folate that your OBGYN will introduce as a daily supplement for you during pregnancy, other vitamin supplementations are not recommended except, of course, if there is a vitamin D deficiency. If there is gestational diabetes, then vitamin E and magnesium supplementations are recommended because it can improve glycemic control and lipid profile. While vitamin E supplementation in healthy women does not provide any benefit during pregnancy, and vitamin A supplements should be avoided because it could be teratogenic. Vitamin C is also not recommended except if there is anemia during pregnancy, because vitamin C facilitates absorption of iron. But the best way to take the vitamin C is not the vitamin supplementations, but to actually use foods that have high amount of vitamin C and squeezing some lemon when you're eating vegetables that are rich in iron, such as spinach or broccoli. Vitamin C facilitates the absorption of non-heme iron. Iron should not be supplemented unless there is anemia, but calcium supplementation can be benefited for women that are at risk for pre-eclampsia because it can reduce the risk of gestational hypertension, neonatal mortality, and preterm birth. So the calcium supplementation should be only in that population of women with low dietary calcium intake, with a supplementation of 1.5 to 2 grams of calcium. And magnesium, which is an essential mineral that is required for several processes of the body, can be added when there is hypomagnesemia because it can improve pregnancy outcome. And choline and iodine, very important during pregnancy, that the best way to get it is through foods together with probiotic supplementations that can help with preeclampsia.
So to summarize, the suggestions we have for improved fertility and pregnancy is, first of all, optimize your body weight. Your body mass index should be between 18 and 25. Not too low and not too high. Eat a healthy diet such as the Mediterranean diet, which is rich in unsaturated fats, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated fats, such as olive oil, avocados, nuts, almonds and walnuts, seeds, and omega-3 fatty fish, such as salmon, pollock, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, herring, catfish, clams, flounder, and scallops, at least 2 times weekly. Avoid sugar and trans fats, and that means avoiding packaged foods, snacks, margarines, hydrogenated oils, fried foods. Try to get most of your protein from plants. Avoid saturated fat, rich red meat, and use more beans, lentils, whole grains, and also eggs are a great source of protein and choline. Avoid refined carbohydrates such as white bread, soda, fruit juices, and baked goods and cookies. Eat the rainbow of colors in fruits and vegetables. Each color is a different set of antioxidants, phytonutrients, flavonoids, and carotenoids, all of which are great for pregnancy and fertility. Get iron from plants and not from animals if possible. And combining iron with vitamin C helps to increase the absorption of the iron. Take the prenatal vitamin with at least 400 micrograms of folate. Consume 2 servings of whole milk dairy daily, cottage cheese, whole milk, cheese, yogurt. Avoid, however, low-fat dairy. Consume isoflavone-rich foods such as soy, legumes, tofu, tempeh, miso, chickpeas, beans, peanuts, and other nuts. Take 400 to 800 international units of vitamin D daily if your vitamin D level is low. And also increase your daily sun exposure and consume egg yolk, salmon, cod liver, and vitamin D fortified milk. And both men and women should avoid alcohol and nicotine during pregnancy.
And during pregnancy, avoid raw meat products, smoked fish, and soft cheeses, including the ones that are made from heat-treated milk, such as Gorgonzola, because they have a high risk of containing Listeria. Raw milk and other products like vegetables and salads might also be affected with Listeria. Pregnant women should also avoid the consumption of raw meat from pigs, lambs, sheep, and game because of the possibility of developing toxoplasmosis, which are parasites that can infect the body.
Well, thank you for participating in another podcast from the Sicilian Secret Diet Plan. Again, I'm Giovanni Campanile, MD, and I look forward to having you listen next time. And hopefully this will help you create a bunch of little listeners for our podcast.
Be well and be safe always.
If you are new to the show, welcome. And if you are returning, we are so grateful for your participation and support. We hope you go to iTunes or Spotify and subscribe to the show. Leave feedback, write a review, or send questions. They love questions and look at every question that is submitted. The content of the Sicilian Secret Diet are meant for educational purposes only and are not meant to be a medical diagnosis or treatment advice. A doctor-patient relationship is not created, and any questions related to your specific physical or mental health should be directed to your healthcare practitioner. So hello, and thank you for joining Sandra and Giovanni for another episode of the Sicilian Secret Diet Plan podcast.